Biblical text is found in the New Testament in the book of St. John. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone stood as the word of God was being read, if it's at all possible. Our mothers in Zion have earned the right to not do nothing. They sit and pray, so they don't have to do anything. But we who have the strength to do so, let us stand and honor and reverence the word of the Lord. Amen. And including the balcony, praise the Lord, if y'all could join us. Thank you. Love y'all. Okay. go to verse number 39 of the 11th chapter. And it's a very familiar text, but this one is going to be in 3D, so put on your 3D glasses, because there's some things in here that I've never seen before that I want to bring out to you, and it's for this house. All right, let's just go with verse number 39. King James Version, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
All right, now after we read this together in concert, who is the reader here? I knew it. All right, so after we read this in concert, I'll need you to help me navigate this mission. So get her a microphone. But she don't need one, but we're going to give her one anyway, because I know she can holler here. Let's read together. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for a day." Look at your neighbor and say, I serve a fashionably late God. Find two other people and say, I serve a fashionably late God. One more person, just tell them, I serve a fashionably late God. He doesn't come when the invitation But, you know, you ain't supposed to be the first one at a party. Oh, come on up in here, church. And we're going to celebrate today. Give God praise for the fashionably late God. You may be seated. Give me a little bit more on the monitors on the pulpit. The house is perfect. I love this sound system. It helps you squall under the anointing. I love it. And I love this church because you all love to praise the Lord. I love you. Thank you. Verse number one. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And here we see that prophetically she anoints the Savior before the crucifixion could take place. The body had to be anointed first. She probably didn't know that at the time, but that's what she was doing. She was preparing his body for this, his birth assignment. And verse number 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, I'm pretty sure it was a text message, and of course Jesus was doing miracles, and he's looking down, he sees he has a text, and it's saying, Lord, behold, who you love is sick. So I know you're helping all these other peeps, but we're family. So when I text you, because it's a family matter, I don't want the church to get in the way of family. That's what this text means. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Touch somebody next to you and let them know that the sickness is not unto death. That right there is enough. I can sit down right there. This is not unto death. Glory to God. But it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And I want to pause here for station identification. Jesus is known to take his time when it comes to meeting people's needs. If you look all through this, he didn't just hop when it, you know, and he understood the urgency of the matter, but because he knew the end of the matter, he said, I'll take my time so that whatever needs to be done in you is done before I get there. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it ain't me, it's your faith. That's gonna make you whole. Verse number 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he didn't rush. He didn't jump. He didn't get in the car. He decides to chill 2 more days. What do you mean? He's in ICU. We don't know if he's going to make it. So come now. You can always go back and heal them. They'll be there. But Jesus, this is family. This is your, you love this person. And isn't it ironic that who God loves, he leaves out there, while folks you know that don't love him seem to get his attention all the time. But they're not as mature as you. The mature saints know that they that wait, not this way, but they that serve. As we are going into this season, the Lord allowed me to question him. I've seen people in church a very long time and have lived saved lives all my life. And I just couldn't understand and wrap my mind around how folks who have dedicated their life to God 40 and 50 and 60 years later still have not seen any manifestation. And you know a lot of good people, a lot of good mothers, a lot of good fathers. You're like, Lord, why do they still have to deal with stuff like this now? They prayed me through. If anyone deserves to have prayers answered, it's these ones. And so the question becomes, Lord, why? 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 And I'm sure that Mary and Martha asked the same thing. Like, why? Why is it that it seems that the evil ones get away with murder? Why is it that it seems like they're never sick? They're always prosperous. They always have an easy way to go. Why? Why, Lord? And don't say you haven't asked why. Why? Someone be real with me in here and tell me if you've ever asked the Lord why. I'm not trying to question your authenticity or the existence of who you are or the theocratic government that you officiate. I'm saying, why them and not me? Is that a crazy question? Because according to how I think I've been living, I think I deserve some type of relief. You become disillusioned when you see people break rules and get blessed. When you follow protocol and can't get a platform. Why? Then becomes when. Why am I in it and when is it going to stop? Glory to God. When will the pain stop? When will folks mean what they say and say what they mean? When will I be vindicated for paying folks bills and not getting anything when I need something? The private labors that no one knows about, paralleled with public humiliation, makes us wonder, why would I serve someone who leaves me hanging? Even Jesus asked his father, why have you forsaken me? Then the question becomes, how? Now that you've put me in this, how are you going to get me out of this? It's my fault. I praised my way into this situation. I testified my way into this because you told me to bless you at all times. Now, how are you going to get me out of the situation I praised and worshiped and shouted my way into? You gotta understand that when she was anointing Jesus' feet, she obviously knew how to worship, and so therefore, wouldn't you think that she would be more qualified to get the attention of the Savior, being that she understood who he really was as the Christ? Why would she not get first steps at miracle working power? Especially those who have been in church a long time. Let's keep going. Read verse number 7, please.
Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again.
Read.
His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again?
They just tried to kill you, Lord. So you're going to go back to the corner that they just shot at you last week. And we trying to follow you, Jesus. We your disciples. You're bulletproof. We're not. So you got us out last time. Are you going to put us in harm's way again? I mean, I'm not trying to question you, but it didn't go quite well last time. Okay. Read.
Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day?
Yes.
If any man walk in the day,
yes,
he stumbleth not.
Uh-huh.
Because he seeth the light of this world.
10.
But if a man walk in the night,
what happens?
He stumbleth because there is no light in him.
Not around him, not in him. So you need the light in you. You need the light in you.
You don't need it around you when the light's in you. He's trying to help him out. Keep reading.
These things said he.
Yes.
And after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth.
Yes.
But I go, that I may awake him out of sleep.
Read.
Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well.
They're like, well, okay, well, then we don't need to go do anything if he's just sleeping. They didn't understand. Next verse.
Howbeit Jesus spake of his death.
He was talking about his death, and death is now assimilated with sleep. That's because he obviously was already in Christ. Those that die in Christ are asleep, not dead. Praise the Lord. Keep going.
But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Then said Jesus unto them plainly.
Plainly.
Lazarus.
Your destiny is dead. Prophecy's done. Shut down. I pull the plug on it. There comes times when God promises you things, fulfills them, and then takes them away. Y'all better hear me real good. The Lord gives and he takes away. It was not the devil, so you don't need to go back and repossess anything. God took this one from you. To wake your spirit up. Because we'll repossess something we can touch. Because it helps the flesh. But we won't repossess our souls and spirits. So God will take away what you idolized. Which includes your identity. Lord Jesus, where the influence that you once had no longer exists. Glory to God. The power that you thought made you who you were, God knows how to lift that off of you. I'm here to let you know the devil hasn't taken anything from us. God saw fit to remove it, to turn our hearts back to our first love. It is not the economy. How do I know? Because God runs the government. The government shall be upon his shoulder. As a matter of fact, it's a blessing that we're where we're at now. Because we'll be able to get what we were going to spend too much on before. For less. But he won't let us get that until we first seek him. And then the thing you think you thought you wanted, you end up not wanting it too much anyway. When God removes things from you, you see just how much you've been unresourceful. Some of the greatest inventions come out of necessity. The lack that you are experiencing now is to get you to quit running back to your parents to pay rent. What you're in now is to remove crutches from underneath you, depending on those you think are spiritual gurus, but they're trying to abort your destiny. So God will kick out stuff from underneath you and take his sweet time delivering you until you first realize without him you are nothing. And he loves to foreshadow his activity to get us excited, but it does not mean that he's going to perform it when we want it. Until patience has been worked in us, which then will help the hope stay alive. God will pump the brakes on deliverance. Oh, glory. Help me, Holy Ghost. There's a reason why God takes people out of our lives. There is a reason why God removes inanimate objects out of our lives. There's a reason why cars are repossessed. There's a reason why things don't work out the way we think they should work out. So that we don't get complacent in the ability of ourselves, The things that we are able to acquire on our own, we don't take care of. Because we say, I can just get it again. But God knows how to make things so big and so over your head that you have to go to a supernatural resource to supply the need that is above your human ability. You see, Mary and Martha thought that they could use favoritism to manipulate the hands of God. Many times we say, Lord, I will not bless your name until you bless me. And after I see the manifestation, then I'll give you what you are due. But God has a way of making you say, Lord, help. He's not going to force you to do anything. He'll just say, let me close my eyes on your life for one day. You will call out to me whether you want to or not. How many of us have tried to sit on our hands in service because God did not move when we wanted him to move? And Lord, the party is already started. And you have to understand the church service is already started. So I don't see any reason to praise you because you didn't show up before I got here. So why should I praise you when I get here? That's because your sanctuary is here when it should be your house. And when your sanctuary is your house, and when that sanctuary is in this house, when you come here, you're not coming for revelation. You're coming here for confirmation of what God has already given you before you, Lord Jesus. Had the sanctuary already been built within these two women, who would be future evangelists, they would understand that the timing of God is more important than the performance of God. What's so awesome about it is that God loves to keep his people on the very edge. I'm talking about where you don't know if you gonna make it or not. You're right at the very edge without a parachute. I need someone to understand that with your businesses and with your ambitions that you cannot jump after the wings grow. You have to jump, and as you jump without wings, the wings are going to expand. Until you can jump when there's nothing there, you'll never have nothing to jump for. Understand that God never goes by what we see. It's what we don't see that's eternal. They could not see it because they weren't in the spirit quite yet. Now let's go back and investigate a little bit more so we can get to the crux of what's happening here, because I know we have things to do and people to see and our duck dinner is still in the oven. So we want to make sure that we're on point here. Go to verse number 15.
And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there.
What? Lord? What? He's glad he didn't show up. Wait. Look at your Bible right now, church. Jesus is saying, I'm glad for your sake, for your faith, for your growth, for your maturation, for your upbuilding. It was a good thing I did not show up on your behalf. Now, if I got some real saints in here, you can praise God right now on him not being there. That's when you know you have tapped into another level of worship. Praisers can only praise when there's a physical manifestation. But worshipers don't worship God's hands. They worship him because he's just God. Y'all better say something. I know you've heard it before. Well, if you heard it before, you should be shouting right now. I'm here to remind you that true believers don't see anything and everything shows up. It was good I didn't bring you out. It was good that you went through that breakup. It was good that I did not make a way out of no way. It was good that I didn't open up a door for you. Why? Because there's something about learning who God is in the storm. Anyone can worship him when the sun comes out, but you know you got the Holy Ghost when you're
in the storm with no way out, and no one can bail you out of your situation, but yet there's a praise and a song in your heart knowing that I don't know how he's going to do it. But if God can't do it, it can't be done. Is anyone in the middle of it right now? Where are the saints that God ain't saying nothing? Y'all better talk back to me. He ain't said nothing. He ain't gave you a rhema word. He has not answered your text. It feels like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling while you know backslidden folks seem to be getting everything they want. Their reward is just what they got. That's all that they're getting. But my hope is in a Christ that will give me something that is eternal, not just for the now, but for up the road. And when my character can handle the money, when my spirit can handle a blessing, when I don't turn the blessing into a bail by worshiping the thing and not the giver of the thing, then I'm ready for God to show up on my behalf. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Ah, when God is silent, it's just like children. As long as kids are making noise, you're good. You know what they're doing. But if a child gets quiet, that's when you begin to say, what's wrong? What's wrong? That's what God is doing right now. He's giving you the silent treatment. And when God is silent, that means he's up to something. I wish you'd hit someone and say, he's quiet because he can't even let this blessing leak out. If the enemy got a whiff of what was really coming, he would try to destroy you now. So there's some stuff God just got to shut up about himself. He's like, I can't even, look. I know you on strike with me at church, but if I reveal to you what's really about to hit your life, the enemy would try to cut you out before it happened. Jesus. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. The silent treatment. He'll give you the cold shoulder because he's taking your shoulder out from under the burden. Oh, Lord Jesus. I did this so that you may believe. But nevertheless, let's go unto him. Verse number 16.
Koraba. Then said Thomas.
Yes.
Which is called Didymus.
Uh-huh.
Unto his fellow disciples.
Yes.
Let us also go.
And die with him.
That we may die with him.
Because when Jesus shows up late, when he should have been there on time, they're going to want to kill him anyway. Y'all better hear what it's saying. Folks get mad when you have the power to change something and you don't. There comes a time in your life when you got to tell your family no. Your family will manipulate you out of your calling and put guilt on you when you don't do it the family's way, while you waiting on God to help you do it the right way. Satan ain't gonna make you lose your salvation. Your family will make you lose your family. They're the ones that bring the cuss back out of you. You better say something to me. It ain't the devil. It's that lying auntie of yours. Backstabbing sister-in-law. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. It ain't the enemy. It's your family. That's why Jesus could not jump, because he was connected to family. Or else family could manipulate his miracles. He had to separate the church from the state. Y'all looking funny, but it's you. around, you're the stumbling block. Shut your mouth, because God has a way of doing things that ain't in the family bloodline. Let them go so they can erase the curse out of your bloodline. Y'all better say something. Folks don't understand, by releasing you, their blessing is locked in you. But the devil in them don't want you to do what you're doing because it don't want them free. Y'all better say something to me right here. Fashionably late. He's late right now. We up here trying to do this. He ain't even showed up quite yet. But if we keep reading, he's late. Okay. Verse 17.
Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already.
Mm-hmm.
Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem.
Yes.
About 15 furlongs off.
Yeah.
And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother.
All right, that's fine. I guess that's in order, but let's see. Let's keep going.
Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming,
yes,
went and met him.
Yes.
But Mary sat still.
How does she sit? How does she sit?
Still.
Uh-huh. Martha heard, ran to him, but Mary did what? Sat still. In where? In the house. While you're waiting for a manifestation, don't start going buck wild. Stay still in the house. Don't move. Your position's crucial. See, folks want you to move out of your position when all they need to do is stay in their lane. You don't have to move me out of what God ordained me into. Do you, boo? Do you. God will use you the way he want to use you. But don't try to crucify me because God put this position in my lap that I didn't even ask for to begin with. Oh, Lord Jesus. She sat still. Read on.
Then said Martha unto Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, if thou hadst been here, mm-hmm, my brother had not died.
And if your brother had not died, then we wouldn't see his glory. Do you see? She's thinking from one way, but see, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Mm-hmm. Go on, read.
But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.
21 was the soulish realm. 22 was the spirit kicking up inside of her, reminding her of the promises of God. 21, she's trying to attack the Lord out of her emotion. She is grief-stricken. 22, the truth of what has been planted inside of her spirit comes up. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give to thee. So she's angry in one breath, but faith is speaking out of her. Is that not us? Have you ever been angry with God and at the same time, I'm still going to trust you anyway? I don't feel like talking to you. I don't feel like reading a word. I don't feel like fasting, but I still got to bless you. Don't be funny up in this church. You don't always want to shout Hosanna. Sometimes you're on strike with God. But yet, what do? Lord, I bless you anyhow. Just between two verses, we see a shifting in the spirit. It was almost like 21 would be almost synonymous with let this cup pass. But then 22 is almost like nevertheless. I don't know about you, but it's that nevertheless that's kept me in church this long. Truth of the matter is, I was done with church. I need some folks in here that know what I'm talking about. Not the church triumphant, but the system, the politics, and the foolishness of church will make you abort what God told you to do. But you got to get mature in the spirit and say, I don't believe he brought me this far to allow these black folks to talk me out of my miracle. Folks will get in your mind. Folks know how to get in that mind. But the Bible says, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. Tell someone, don't let them get in your mind. They want you to leave so they can get in your place. And when they get there, can't even do it like you, because they ain't went through the hell you had to go through to walk in the oil that you have. Now some of y'all talking and wondering if I really got a word. That's why God's gonna bypass you and give you everything you supposed to get. I'm gonna get.
Now keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Read. Let me get back on track. Come on here.
Jesus said unto her,
yes,
thy brother shall rise again.
Listen. At the appointed time, your calling gonna come back up. At the appointed time, your ministry gonna come back up. It ain't over. It was a set up, not a sit back. Come on here. God knows how to pull us back to reassess the reason why we want to be seen. The reason why. God has a way of saying, okay, well, let's see what the real motive is. Is it so that everyone can say, oh, sing, Cal, you could run through the roof? I mean, is that your only motivation, or is it to minister to the heart of God so that he can minister to the heart of the people? And God will blow on everything you're trying to do until he knows he can trust you with the platform again. I hope I'm helping somebody right there. Oh, tell them your ministry gonna rise again. Once your spirit is in the right place, your family is going to come back together when you get in line. It's not the devil. Quit blaming him. He's playing Uno in Idaho. He's playing checkers in Zimbabwe. He don't have time. You ran over a nail. That's not the devil. You ran over a nail. Oh, come on up in here. Quit giving that punk so much power. He's not omnipotent. He is not omniscient. It's you that has to make a conscious choice. Either I'm going to believe God all the way, or I might as well leave Christianity, because it's based off of faith. And if you don't have faith, you can't walk this walk. We're saved by faith. We're justified by faith. Try a different religion. But if you're going to come over here, you got to have some faith. Don't take a whole lot either. Because some of y'all only got a little bit, but that's all God needs to make this thing resurrect again. Martha said unto him, I know that he'll rise again. And the resurrection of the last day, people talk about by and by when the morning comes. I ain't talking about no by and by. Ain't nobody trying to hear nothing about be strong in the Lord at a funeral. Don't tell me be strong. Don't tell me what to be until you can experience that thing. Not vicariously, but exponentially. What I'm feeling on the inside, be careful. Even our exhortations can be offensive when we try to encourage without sensitivity. Oh, that's a get over it. It's all right. Until it hits your house. See, the reason why people don't want to join church is not because they don't want to serve God. They just don't want to give up their common sense to serve him. You want folks to give up their intelligence and their common sense and their real feelings. Understand that God ministers to the natural needs of people before he gives a parable. That's why he fed them first. So that the human condition could be met first. The church first must meet the natural needs of the people, which means you've got to learn how to be shockproof. You can't be blown away when you hear some crazy testimonies about where some folks came from. And while you staring and judging somebody, there's nothing between you and a hooker but the Holy Ghost. There's nothing between you and a pit but the Holy Ghost. There's nothing between you and a crackhead but the Holy Ghost. And don't come up in here with that aim spirit trying to judge the sermon. The word is the word. But let me see it. You don't need to see nothing but God's face. Come on here, church. God uses crazy people. See, some of y'all trying to pull worldly games in church, but you don't even play them right. And then trying to plead the blood of Jesus when someone's ready to whoop you down. It don't work that way. If you coming in here, come all the way and say what you mean what you say, and show compassion to your brothers and sisters. You used to be out there, and some of y'all still out there. You just know how to dress it up in here. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God knows your heart. Jesus could have judged Thomas's doubt and Martha's doubt and Mary's grief, but he said, I understand where y'all coming from. Because Jesus is not so high on the throne that he does not understand our infirmities. He understands the language of your tears. Some of y'all can't even audibly speak a word in prayer, but your tears are ministering to the heart of God. Oh, glory to God. It says here, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. Say, God is the resurrection. You don't have to worry about death when life just stepped through the door. Y'all better say something. Death was trying to hold a party, but it doesn't matter. As soon as Jesus steps through the door, you don't need a resuscitator. You don't need a defibrillator, because once the life comes in, everything that is dead stands unto attention. That's why churches are dead. Because Jesus hasn't stepped through the doors. But when you feel the power of Jesus, when he is lifted up, that's when you see the dead folks come alive. Because you can't be dead and alive at the same time. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, tell someone, yet shall I live. My testimony was dead, but yet shall I live. My hope had been buried, but tell someone, yet shall I live. God, you're late again. But he says, if you know me in the fellowship of my suffering, then you would know by now that I never show up when you ask me to. But I'm always right on time. I'm trying to use your enemy to bless you before I get there. Because my treasure is much greater than earthly treasures. So your very enemy is going to bless you first. And then God's going to come behind them and bless you again. Because for everything that you have lost publicly, the Bible declares that you get back double for everything that you have lost. So she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ. I believe that you're the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly on the cell phone and said, the master is here. He's here. And he just called for you. She waited until God called her. Didn't jump ahead of God's call. Many of us are jumping ahead of God's call. But we will answer the phone calls of the enemy, even though the Holy Ghost has given us spiritual ID to identify the enemy, and we still keep falling into the same traps. And so as soon as she had heard that, she arose quickly and she came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her, say them, y'all. It's the bereavement committee. It's the professional mourners. It's the professional weepers. The self-appointed intercessors. The deep ones, the holy ones of Israel. The ones that prophesy to you in the bathroom. It's the special weepers. Just crying. If you that spiritual, why aren't you saying God's gonna do it? Don't weep with me. Start interceding, saying God is gonna make a way. They obviously did not have the faith to believe in Jesus, so they were just doing their job, was to massage your sorrow. You got to understand that some people are in your life to massage your sorrow until they massage you into depression and then massage you into suicide. I can't have someone that's just as depressed as me ministering to me. I got to have somebody that knows how to pull me up out of the pit. I'm already doing bad by myself. So if you're going to come bring your junk, you can keep that right there. I'd rather take this one on my own. I need somebody that can encourage me. And if I can't find nobody, then I'm going to have to just encourage myself. Because it's better when you go solo anyway, because then folks ain't trying to take credit for what God did. Glory to God. Can I preach this thing? I feel the Holy Ghost. That's a good key. And I feel the Holy Ghost right about now. Verse number 31. Can I preach it the way I feel it? The Jews then were with her in the house, comforted her. And when they saw Mary, she rose up hastily and went out. They followed her, saying, she goes unto the grave to weep there. But that was an assumption. Something in Mary's spirit said, the same God that turned the water into wine is about to pull a fast one. Because I've seen him show up late, and then the blessing appears right and early. So let me hurry up before I miss what he's about to do. I just don't want him to do the miracle. Tell someone, I want to be there to see it happen. That's why things are happening in slow motion. That's why it seems like in the spirit you're in a revolving door. Because God is just pacing your spirit. Because the way he's going to bless you is going to be in slow motion. So that every enemy that said it would never happen have to sit there and watch him prepare a table before you. Right in the presence of your naysayers. There's a reason why God took his time. Because he knew that Mary would bring a crowd with her of unbelievers. There's a reason why folks got to show up to see you fail. And God will make it look like that you are a failure on purpose. Folks showing up to concerts to act like they're there to support, but want to see the concert fail. But I'm here to decree to this church that there's some folks that want to see it go down, but they ain't going nowhere. God's about to bless this house in front of every other ministry that ever said that this ain't nothing, that they full of emotionalism, and that God ain't really there. But what you don't know is, this isn't just a church, but it's a house of prophets that's been through hell and high water. Any church can praise God on the mountain, but this is the lily of the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. Thy correction and thy staff, they comfort me. I might be in the valley, but if I can worship in the valley, then I certainly can climb up the mountain, because I've been to the bottom. I can't go no lower. Tell your neighbor, there's nowhere to go but up to the top. Climb in, up the mountain. Somebody shout glory. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In verse number 33, Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews that were weeping came in with her, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Before God could do the miracle, he first had to intercede for himself, because the flesh side of him almost wanted to doubt that he could do it himself. But there's another portion in him that said it must be done, so that God's glory could be revealed. Jesus did no miracles of his own merit, but only for the reflection of the Father. You gotta tell God, I don't want to sing unless it reflects your glory. I don't want to be in nobody's pulpit unless you have ordained me to be there. I don't want to play no organ if you didn't call me to be on the instrument. I don't want to serve on the usher board unless you've called me to be a reflection of your glory. Jesus never took the credit for himself, but he always consulted his Father. Tell your neighbor that God is not leading anybody that's not under leadership. Get underneath your Father. Get underneath your spiritual Father, because nothing you do outside of this church can be resurrected until you first bring your charity at home. You gotta do what's right by the house, and then God will bless everything outside of the house. But tell someone, family business is family business. If there's something going on, cover me. Look at your neighbor, say, you may have some dirt on me, but don't blast me, cover me. Don't cover up my sin, just cover my reputation until I get back to the altar. Just cover my anointing until I get that junk purged out of my spirit. Cover my covering, cover my covering, so that he can still cover me. And then as he covers me, God's gonna cover him, and goodness and mercy will follow you and stalk you. That's why you ain't dead now, because your personal bodyguards have been escorting you. They're called grace and mercy, and they're not letting you go. It may look like it's dead, it may look like it's over, but God, he said, Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail you not. Now somebody shout hallelujah, shout glory, shout glory. Ah, we're almost there. Verse number 34 says, where have you laid him? And they said, say they said. I want you to remember in verse number 34, the key word, they. Say they. Say they. I want you to remember they, because it's all about what they've been saying. It's not what God says that got you troubled. It's what they are saying. Now, he may have said, and she may have said it, but ask your neighbor, what did God say? All it takes is one yes from God after a million people said no. But when the devil says no, God turns around and says yes. That's why he asked them, where have ye laid him? He already knew, because he's an all-knowing God, but he needed them to escort him to the scene of the crime so that their doubtful spirits could be encouraged to trust in God. At that moment when he discerned their doubt, Jesus wept. He was not mourning over Lazarus' death. He began to cry because their faith had not been perfected. I'm tired of making God cry because I can't believe him to pay my cell. I'm tired of making God cry because I can't believe him for a car note. I'm tired of making God cry because every time they talk about me, I'm ready to leave the church. I'm tired of making God cry that every time opposition comes, I act like a punk and go the other way. But tell your neighbor to stand still. That's the only way the devil knows who you really are. Because if they see you standing in the middle of your adversity, you've got to endure your hardship as a good soldier. You can't come in here saying you represent the king, but can't handle persecution. Tell someone, stand and watch God do this thing. Then the Jews said, behold how he loved him. And some of them say some of them say, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man to have not died? Jesus therefore again interceding within himself, he came over to the grave. You gotta understand that when Jesus visits you, there's no way you can stay in the same mess and be the same way. Talking about you had something with God, you can't say God told you nothing if there's not an outward change. Because when God comes into your vicinity, there is an outward transformation as well as an inward conversion. You can't hang out with the same devils you used to when God has really called you out of darkness. That's why you gotta separate yourself, not to be self-righteous, but to protect the oil that you paid for. They weren't there at the shut-in, but won all the benefits of your fasting and praying. It's time to get selfish in the spirit and say, I went through hell, so I'm gonna get this blessing. If you want what I got, you got to go and get it for yourself, because I got to save myself. Now, can I go back into this thing? Went over to the grave, and it was a cave, and the stone that was laid upon it. Then Jesus told them, listen, he said, them, y'all, take away the stone. He didn't ask believers to do it. He asked the Jews who did not believe, y'all move the stone. Can I tell you something? Your enemies are about to move your opposition. God ain't even gonna have to touch your situation. Them same doubting devils gonna start opening up opportunities for you and don't even know why. They hate your guts but still keep getting you in the right place at the... Your very enemy is going to be your private investor. They hate your guts but can't deny the oil that's on your life. It's gonna kill them to bless you. It's gonna murder them to bless you. Cause you gonna heap coals of fire on their head. Cause the way they did you, when your blessing comes, you ain't gonna do them the same way. So God gonna make your enemy your footstool and your servant. So tell your enemy, kick rocks. Kick rocks. Move my problem out of my way. Doubting demon, kick rocks. Move that problem out of my way. I can't touch it because I'm too clean for that job. Wait a minute. Take away the stone. And Martha said unto them that he was dead. And Lord, he stinketh by now. You gotta understand that stinky stuff makes crops grow. I've never smelled sweet fertilizer. So the bull crap you've been going through is for a reason. God's using your messy situation with flies falling all around it to put on top of your harvest. And though it stinks, your crop is about to come up from the ground. God's gonna use my mess to elevate my future. You better shout glory in here. Shout glory in here. Now I don't want to hold you you too much longer. But we've come too far in the movie to walk out before this is over. So let's stay all the way in there. Because he's been dead for 4 days. But there was significance in 4 days instead of three. God could have done it in three. But I serve a jealous God. So Lazarus was not going to be resurrected in less time than him. So he told Lazarus, you got to stay one more day. Because when I pull the same trick, it's only going to take three. So I got to give you one more day to stay in the grave. Because I'm not going to be outdone even by my own miracle. So there's a reason why God lets you bake in the oven. You think you're about to burn up. But I'm here to tell you that not one.